You're listening to WGXC Acra, Hudson, Catskill.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acra, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show on Tuesday, March 22nd. Today we will hear radio songs about radio. From Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark, Negative Land, The Mothers of Invention, ZZ Top, and the B-52s. We also hear the WGXC Congressional Report with the latest news about Representative Antonio Delgado and Paul Tonko and the candidates who want to unseat them in the November elections. We'll also hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it all starts after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network, network.
This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network, network.
And the moon turns to blood.
WGXC underwriting support has been provided by Dedicated Presentation Solutions. Allow DPS to turn your audiovisual how-do-eyes into here's-how-you-cans. Visit DedicatedPresentation.com or call 845-475-8465 for more information. Dedicated Presentation Solutions, your audiovisual partner.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Marcus DeGrazia Acupuncture of Austerlitz, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org. and click donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Valerie White is reporting for Porcupine Soup that the Cairo Town Board on March 16th once again focused its attention on allowing recreational cannabis dispensaries and consumption lounges in the town. New York legalized recreational cannabis in March 2021, and municipalities had until December 31st of that year to opt out of allowing the businesses within their borders. Under the rules, localities that did not opt out were permitted to opt back in at a later date. On December 16th, the Cairo Town Board voted 3-2 to opt out. The vote followed a standing room only public hearing where the vast majority of residents in attendance wanted the town to opt in. Last week, Cairo Supervisor Jason Watts brought up the subject again, saying he wanted to schedule another public hearing to consider opting back in. But comments from the floor that night were opposed to the idea. Quote, "This needs to go to a referendum," unquote, said board member Tim Powers, who voted against cannabis sales in December. Quote, "Every person who is voting age in this town should have a say in it. I'm not going to make a decision for 6,700 people, and I don't think you should either," unquote. Watts said he had, quote, "no problem putting it on the ballot," unquote. Cannabis sales are not expected to begin in New York until 2023. When sales begin in Greene County, the Catskill Town Board has agreed to allow the dispensaries, but not on-site consumption lounges. The villages of Catskill will allow both type of businesses, as will the towns of Coxsackie and Athens. Read more about the story at porcupinesoup.com.
Ashley Miller reports for WNYT that the Ichabod Crane boys basketball team won its first ever state championship March 20th. The Ichabod Crane Riders beat Friends Academy 63-62 in the Class B state championship game at Cool Insuring Arena in Glen Falls. The team won despite star Brett Richards going down with an ankle injury in the first quarter. But he returned and helped the Riders with a comeback win with 19 points and 16 rebounds. Richard was named tournament MVP. WNYT talked with Coach Will Ferguson and Richards after the game.
It's just great. I mean, can't say enough. I think it'll sit in or set in about a month because this is like a dream.
Ending a career and a win. Nobody, very few people can do that, and I got to do it. I mean, state championship, nothing better. That's the best way to go out.
You can read more about this story at WNYT.
Nick Reisman reports for New York State of Politics that Democratic New York State Assembly member Angelo Santa Barbara, March 21st, called for a suspension of tolls on the state thruway system during the summer months. The proposal was put forward as gas prices and inflation are pushing consumer prices upward for the foreseeable future. The bill, backed by Santa Barbara, would set a toll holiday during the months of June, July, and August. Quote, typically the summer months are when most people make their travel plans, and this savings will encourage tourism in our upstate areas, unquote, he said. Quote, these active months are important for local businesses, and we must do all we can to encourage economic activity when they need it the most, unquote. Santa Barbara is urging state officials to use New York's surplus of federal aid to help cover the lost revenue from any suspension. In a separate measure, Santa Barbara and state lawmakers on both sides of the aisle have called for taxes on gasoline sales to be suspended. New York collects about $2 billion in gas tax revenue. In response, the Thruway Authority said the proposed toll holiday would deprive the authority of much-needed revenue. A different proposal advanced last week by state Democrats would suspend the gas tax from May 1st through the end of the year. Read more about the story at New York State of Politics.
Michelle Del Rey reports in the Times Union that Governor Kathy Hochul is slowly starting to respond to Freedom of Information Law requests quickly and transparently. Previously, legal requests for public information from the state were often delayed or ignored. Since taking office last summer, Hochul's office has changed many policies of her predecessor. Hochul is now requiring state agencies to identify and publicly post frequently requested documents. While former Governor Andrew Cuomo required certain Freedom of Information Law requests, especially those from news organizations, be forwarded to the executive chamber for review, Hochul has not. And Hochul is getting the State Office of Information Technology and Services to improve the state's process for receiving, processing, and responding to FOIA requests. The governor said in a statement last week, and I quote, "On my first day in office, I pledged to turn the page on the old ways of Albany and restore New Yorkers' faith in their government. We're taking meaningful action to streamline the process to access public records so journalists and members of the public can more easily access information to which they are entitled. While there's always more to do, I'm proud of the steps my administration has taken to increase transparency and accountability in New York State government," end quote. Reinvent Albany, a government accountability group, applauded Hochul's efforts. And I quote, "Governor Hochul's agency transparency plans are a fundamental first step for asserting what agencies need to do to comply with the Freedom of Information Law, FOIL, Open Data Executive Order, and other mandates. If done well, the plans will also show the governor and legislature what else needs to be done to increase public access to state government information," end quote. And you can read more about that story in the Times Union.
John Cropley reports for the Daily Gazette that Schoharie County officials are looking for someone to buy their former jail building. The building was made unusable more than 10 years ago by flooding from the storms associated with Hurricane Irene. Buyers would get a 30-year-old buildings with 80,000 square feet on 6.7 acres that might flood again with the Schoharie Creek just 100 yards away. Quote, "They did some cleanup post-flood," unquote, said Julie Picata, executive director of the Schoharie Economic Enterprise Corp., which is leading the marketing effort to sell the land. Quote, "Some of the ground floor of the two-story administrative office building is essentially gutted. The upper floor is in great shape. It's as though folks were working there yesterday," unquote. Earlier this month, the Schoharie Economic Enterprise Corp. issued a request for proposals for the site without a minimum bid. Ulster County is attempting to turn its former jail site into housing, and Greene County is expanding its court at the site of its former jail in Catskill. Read more about this story in the Daily Gazette.
Mid-Hudson News reports that New York's Department of Environmental Conservation has new freshwater fishing regulations that go into effect on April 1st. Rainbow trout, brown trout, and splake in lakes and ponds can now be caught year-round with a five-fish daily limit, any size, with a, and I quote, no more than two longer with 12 inches, end quote, harvest rule. The season for walleye, northern pike, pickerel, and tiger muskellunge now opens May 1st. The season for muskellunge opens June 1st. The season for largemouth and smallmouth bass now opens June 15th. The statewide sunfish daily harvest limit has been reduced from 50 to 25 fish. And the statewide minimum size limit for crappie has been increased from 9 inches to 10 inches. There are also other new regulations specific to bodies of water outside of the WGXE listening area. You can read more about this story at Mid-Hudson News.
And that wraps up the WGXE Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXE website, WGXE.org. From the WGXE newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
And now, here is your WGXE weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Tuesday, mostly sunny with a high near 50 degrees. Tuesday night, partly cloudy with a low of around 29 degrees. And on Wednesday, a slight chance of snow showers before 9 a.m., then a slight chance of rain and snow showers between 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature high near 45 degrees. And Wednesday night, showers are likely with a temperature low of around 36 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
Tuesday, March 22nd, tune in to all sorts of creative community voices on the air on 90.7 FM. You'll hear the WGXC Congressional Report at 9 a.m. on the WGXC Morning Show. Then in from Catskill, Corey McClaskin brings us the Forgotten Geek Show at 10 a.m. At 11 a.m., it's time for Early Electro Mix with tracks from Anaya Lockwood, Ruth Anderson, Joe Meek, and others. Then at noon, we head live to Ulster County with the latest edition of Overlooked, and Rob Saffer has new releases from 2022 this week. Then there are nuclear songs at 2 p.m., and the band People Like Us is featured on the Radio Art Hour at 3 p.m. At 8 p.m., tune in the Mostly Single Show from Michael Wilde, featuring the Hollies, the Birds, the Blues, and songs from New Zealand. And then we're live from somewhere in Columbia County with Dan Seward and the Battlefield Earth Show at 10 p.m. on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM. All together now, all together now, all together now, all together now, all together
now, all together now, all together now. To get a local event mentioned on All Together Now, go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page, and copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
On Thursday, March 24th, the Mountaintop Historical Society hosts an event called Three Extraordinary Ordinary Women of the Mountaintop, and it's a Zoom meeting that celebrates the life of Justine Hummel, the hunter historian for 3 decades and co-founder of the Mountaintop Historical Society, Bernadine Wesley, an engineer and civil rights activist, as well as a member of the Hunter Planning Board for 10 years, and Sidonia Paulus, the managing editor of the Windham Journal for 28 years. Deborah Allen, Johanna Titus, and Cindy LaPierre will speak about these three women of the Mountaintop Thursday, March 24th at 7 p.m.,
on a Zoom from the Mountaintop Historical Society. Go to the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org for more information about this event and many others, and you can add your own event there to be read on the radio and read by millions around the world at the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
Welcome to the video rental store in your mind.
Looking for something to watch, but feeling overwhelmed by all the options?
Feeling unsatisfied with all the boring, restrictive categories like romance and drama or horror?
Tune in to Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda every second and fourth Tuesday at 7 p.m. and get turned on to movie genres like eco-horror,
unsettling kids' movies,
alien boyfriends,
creepy therapy.
Start listening so you can start watching today.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Tuesday, March 22nd. Early this morning, the lows range from 26 in Halcott Center to 34 in Ulster Park. Winds kick up around 15 miles per hour today. And that's going to be about all day long. It's going to be breezy as temperatures rise to 51 degrees by 4 p.m. Be careful what's left outside overnight because temperatures will dip below freezing, reaching 30 degrees by dawn. Tomorrow we'll have a high of 46 with some rain showing up by 3 p.m. Rain keeps going and we get a low of 36 degrees. Thursday will stay wet with a high of 45. More rain overnight with a low of 43 Friday. Still some lingering rain and a high of 53. Pollen levels for today will be in medium levels. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 12:39 a.m., high tide at 6:27 a.m., low tide again at 1:19 p.m., and high tide again at 6:54 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 44 degrees. Sunset today will be at 6:55 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:52 a.m. Looking way up, we see a coronal mass ejection is still on the way for tomorrow. And the following day, a plasma stream is due to arrive. Solar wind speed is currently 333 kilometers per second at 4.6 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 4 megahertz till dark, then fair below 15 megahertz overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 3, quiet. The current sunspot number is 30. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
April is Jazz Appreciation Month, and the Hudson Area Library is celebrating with a performance from the Michael Benedict Jazz Vibes Quartet. That's Michael Benedict on vibraphone, John Leroy on keyboards, Mike Richmond on bass, and Andy Heron on drums. They are performing at the Hudson Area Library on April 2nd. That's it, from noon to 1 p.m. You can go to the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org for more information about this event or many other community events, and you can even add your own event there at wgxc.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Teo Campo Real of Athens, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
Are you tired of your flying saucer always breaking down on your way to Mars?
Wish you could get more bang for your whoopee at the gas pump?
Well, here at Flying Saucer Mart, we have the perfect flying saucer for you.
It goes as fast as light. It comes in a variety of colors and only costs you 75 whoopee.
Come down to 375 Bionic Ave in Pluto City and fly home with a new used flying saucer today.
Radio Edge of Life, radio Edge of Life, she's a living soul. A new report makes the case for New York to continue its excluded workers fund, which was started during the pandemic to provide payments to undocumented workers and others who lost income but were not eligible for unemployment benefits. Applications opened last August and closed in October after the $2.1 billion allocated to it were spent. David Disregard-Kallick with the Immigration Research Initiative co-authored the report. He notes the fund has helped 130,000 people, which is about 40% of those who are eligible. Advocates are calling for not only adding $3 billion to the existing fund, but setting up a permanent fund for excluded workers.
There's no reason that people should be left out just because they weren't fast enough to apply for a program that they qualify for. And then let's talk about the long term as well. We can make this something that's not just invented every time there's a crisis, but that's there year in and year out for people who are part of our communities.
Advocates have been calling on Governor Kathy Hochul and the New York State Legislature to include funding for excluded workers in the state budget, which has to be finalized by April 1st. A weeks-long march is underway from New York City to Albany to call for an end to exclusion. Report co-author Andrew Stettner with the Century Foundation says everyone who lives and works in New York deserves the same access to benefits. He says losing a job can put families in precarious situations with ever-increasing costs of housing and other basic needs.
Having some ability just to get a little bit of income in between jobs really makes a big difference for people's family stability and being part of the community, not having to have their kids, you know, switch out of schools or move all around the city because people don't really have very much in the way of savings.
The report notes other states and localities have followed New York's example, such as New Jersey, which successfully created a similar program on a smaller scale. Johnson County in Iowa created a $2 million fund for excluded workers, and other campaigns occurred in California, Colorado, Washington State, and Washington, D.C. This is Lily Bolke with New York News Connection. Find our 8 trust indicators for transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to The Morning Show on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Getting up.
like to do a show on WGXC?
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Chocolate pigs.
I turned it down.
Only dogs can hear.
I turned it down.
Did you hear that?
No.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
It's about time that we have a highly qualified, highly accomplished Black woman on the Supreme Court. It's about time our highest court better reflects the country it serves.
Democratic representative from Hawaii, Mazie Hirono, praised federal judge Ketanji Brown Jackson on the first day of her confirmation hearings to succeed Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer when he retires this summer. Judge Jackson received bipartisan support for previous appointments, but some Republican senators are now attacking her record. Representative Sheila Jackson Lee dismissed Republican Missouri Senator Josh Hawley's claim that Brown has a history of leniency toward child sex offenders.
If I took his comments seriously, I'd be outraged. But they are hollow.
Ukrainian officials have refused Russia's demands to lay down their arms in Mariupol in exchange for the safe passage of civilians out of the southeastern port city. Benjamin Jensen at the Center for Strategic and International Studies says Russian forces have struggled to make meaningful progress in their attempt to take over Ukraine.
Most people seem to look at this conflict and still assume that it's some kind of insurgency, but the Ukrainians are still fighting in mechanized brigade-sized formations. That's large-scale combat operations.
Meanwhile, the Russian Foreign Ministry said its ties with the U.S. are on the verge of breaking over President Biden's comments to reporters last week, calling Russian President Vladimir Putin a war criminal. On Monday, White House cyber advisor Anne Neuberger called on private sector companies to shore up their cyber defenses.
Based on evolving threat intelligence, that the Russian government is exploring options for potential cyber attacks on critical infrastructure in the United States.
The U.S. Marines have identified four servicemen who died when their aircraft crashed in Norway during a NATO exercise the military says was unrelated to the Ukraine war. The cause of the crash is under investigation, but Norwegian police reported bad weather in the area, according to the Associated Press. The State Department said Monday it's restricting the visas of Chinese officials accused of repressive acts against ethnic and religious minorities. Finally, more than 20 years after the 9/11 terrorist attack, the U.S. government has stated the five men charged with that crime may never face a jury. Settlement talks are underway at the U.S. military court in Guantanamo Bay to allow alleged 9/11 architect Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and his four co-defendants to plead guilty and serve life in prison. I'm Nadia Ramlagan for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our eight trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
I'm Tom Rowe with WGXC in Acre with this week's WGXC Congressional Report, tracking the votes, statements, positions, and campaigns of the representatives and candidates for the 19th and 20th congressional seats in New York. Current Democratic Representatives Antonio Delgado and Paul Tonko vote with the positions of President Joe Biden 100% of the time, according to the 538.com website.
Natasha Von Holdridge is reporting for Columbia Green Media that more than $800,000 in federal funding is expected for broadband in the town of Ghent, Canaan, New Lebanon, and Austerlitz. Congress passed a $1.5 trillion omnibus spending plan last week, which allocates nearly $830,000 in funding, which will become available after the measure is signed into law by President Joe Biden. A broadband study conducted for Columbia County in 2021 found there are more than 1,200 unserved addresses that do not have access to broadband. Columbia Economic Development Corporation President and CEO F. Michael Tucker said, and I quote, With these funds, it is anticipated that close to 25% of those addresses will get access to broadband service, reducing the need for the funding necessary to serve all of Columbia County, end quote. Tucker said 300 homes and businesses of the 1,250 unserved addresses in the county are located in the four towns named. He said, and I quote, "We have seen estimates of $10 million to $12 million needed to serve all 1,250 addresses, but are awaiting detailed cost estimates from the four broadband providers in the county," end quote. The four towns began issuing requests for proposals for the broadband work in January. U.S. Representative Antonio Delgado announced he voted for the federal bill last week, which his office said included funding for nine Delgado-led community projects in the district. The Rhinebeck Democrat said in a statement, and I quote, "The investments in this package address some of our nation's biggest challenges while providing much-needed support for my constituents in upstate New York. With this funding, we are investing in the middle class, lowering costs for working families, creating American jobs, and supporting vulnerable folks in our communities," end quote. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com.
Justin Dahls reports for the Albany Business Review that a federal report released last week by the Veterans Administration included a number of proposed changes for veterans' health care services in the Capital Region, totaling $1.5 billion. The plan calls for the closing of Albany Stratton VA Medical Center after the construction of a new hospital. Albany Stratton was last renovated in 1985. The VA says the building's infrastructure and layout do not meet modern health care standards, and it would take more than $222 million for a full upgrade. The replacement facility would offer inpatient mental health, nursing home, rehab program, urgent care, primary care, outpatient specialty care, and outpatient mental health services. The Federal Asset and Infrastructure Review report said the existing hospital, located between Holland and New Scotland Avenues near the Albany Medical Center, would be shut down after, quote, "the realignment of services to the new Albany VA Medical Center," unquote. The new facility would consolidate the clinical services currently located in Clifton Park, Troy, and Schenectady as well. Meanwhile, Ulster County Executive Pat Ryan is upset that the VA also recommended closing the Castle Point VA Medical Center in Wappingers Falls in Dutchess County. Ryan wrote on Twitter that, quote, "tens of thousands of veterans and military families rely on the facility." Quote, "This is unacceptable, and we are rallying to push back on these recommendations and push for real investment in strengthening our regional VA services," unquote. Ryan wrote about a March 19th rally at the Ulster County office building about the proposed closure. Representative Antonio Delgado and State Senator Michelle Hinchey attended the rally, the Times Union reports.
"We're all here today to make sure that our veterans at home, many of whom, as you've heard, rely on Castle Point as their primary point of care, are not abandoned due to bureaucratic decision making in Washington. Our veterans and their families have sacrificed too much, far too much, to be subjected to VA modernization and or realignment proposals that do not sustain equally accessible services of the same or higher quality. Period. And yet, here we are. On Monday, March 14th, the VA recommended closing Castle Point Medical Center and relocating its inpatient medical and urgent care services to community providers. Specifically, the report states, quote, "The current inpatient medical urgent care demand could be absorbed," as County Exec Ryan pointed out, "by community partners." Whatever that means, we don't know. But it goes on. This is really the kicker. To enhance convenience, I really struggle to understand what it means to enhance convenience in our rural communities where access points to care are already limited and difficult to come by. We see this trend again, as the county exec pointed out, of declining services in our rural communities far too often, from mental health to detox and rehabilitation services to maternity care and now veteran care, all in the name of modernization or enhanced convenience. It's important to note that according, thank you, man. It's important now. It's important. Now I think I'm at loss of it. You get it? Sherry, I was in my groove, man. I can project. It is important to note that according to the VA report, this is a very, very, I'm glad the mic's back on, so I want you to hear this. Urgent care encounters, and they call it encounters, which, by the way, that's a bureaucratic word if you ever think of one. Encounters, not community interactions, not peer-to-peer exchanges, encounters. Encounters at Castle Point have actually increased by 28% between 2017 and 2019. Did you hear that? That these encounters at Castle Point, that these needs, the urgent care, veterans coming in, have increased 28% over the last few years, but apparently not enough. Because when you live in rural communities, maybe it's the case that you just don't have that level of population to meet these, again, bureaucratic metrics. There's a bias there that hurts our communities. So here we are with the VA recommending that we relocate these urgent care facilities to places not even determined. And I want to be clear, as the county exec pointed out, the outpatient facility in Fishkill is not remotely adequate in terms of replacement. The name alone makes that clear, outpatient facility. Indeed, nothing in the recommendations clearly identifies how the services would be replaced by the new facility in Fishkill. Nothing in the report explains that. On top of that, the VA proposal wants to relocate Castle Point's Living Center service to a, they quote, current or future VA facility, and they specify they want to consolidate the beds with the program at the Montrose VA Medical Center, 27 miles away. 27 miles away. Folks who made these decisions are basically saying to veterans in Old Sterling, Dutchess, just go on down to Montrose to get care. It's not acceptable. Many of our veterans struggle to get transportation, as Gavin pointed out, to and from Castle Point. That alone is challenging. Now they're told to go to Westchester. All this is deeply concerning. And that is why, following the VA announcement, I immediately sent a letter with Congressman Maloney to the VA expressing our concerns. And I want to be clear what we said. It is imperative that any recommendation not include a reduction of services for the veterans in our district. VA must not compromise the care of our veterans by closing facilities without sufficient and equally accessible replacement of those services. And without those assurances in plain writing, clear, detailed writing, I will not support any plan that closes the VA facility here at home. Our veterans have sacrificed so much for our communities and our country. We must ensure they have access to the care and services they need and have earned when they come home. I'm glad to stand with all of you, particularly our veterans, in this fight. You will have in me an ally every step of the way. And I want to thank again the County Exec Pat Ryan for the invitation and for his leadership in this fight. Thank you.
This has been the WGXC Congressional Report, tracking this week's activities from Representative Paul Tonko and Representative Antonio Delgado, who both represent in Congress many of the citizens in the WGXC listening area. Go to the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about any of these stories.
In the end, the same as the beginning. In the beginning, the same as the end. In the end, the same as the beginning. In the beginning, the same as the end. In the end, the same as the beginning. In the beginning, the same as the end. In the end, the same as the beginning. In the beginning, the same as the end. In the end, the same as the beginning. In the beginning, the same as the end. In the end, the same as the beginning. In the beginning, the same as the end. In the end, the same. In the beginning, the same as the end. In the end, the same as the beginning. In the beginning, the same as the end.
Just give it to me. In the air. In the beginning, the sea was the end. In the end, the sea was the end. In the beginning, the sea was the end. In the end, the same as the beginning. In the beginning, the same as the end. In the end, the same as the beginning. In the beginning, the same as the end. In the end, the same as the beginning. In the beginning, the same as the end. In the end, the same as the beginning. In the beginning, the same as the end. In the end, the same as the beginning. In the beginning, the same.
God, natural fact or unnatural fiction? This decision is your heads to decide. And if it does, you will. And the next step will be yours to remove your blindfold and take the It's All in Your Head message out of this building, out to all of those unable to attend this broadcast. Thank you for supporting Carry Out Philosophy. Thank you for supporting the future. This has been It's All in Your Head FM.
Weatherman speaking. Thanks for listening.
To create is divine. To reproduce is human. Man Ray.
Well, did you have an idea about God?
No, I never did.
Well, have you an idea about God now?
No.
Operator disconnect.